Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I'm going to show you just a couple things that I received for Mother's Day today. First of all, I woke up and I have to just brag on my husband and son, who, when I got up, the coffee was ready to just push the button. Woohoo! I pushed the button, and as I was going around getting stuff, I opened the cupboard to get my cup out, and there were these signs that said, "You're amazing. I hope your coffee's great." And then I went to get my iPad that was charging in preparation for right now, and inside of it says a card from Daniel Jr., "You're amazing." And so that's very sweet. And then the second, does anybody know what this means? Is there a picture behind me yet? I'm the newest grandma. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding. We're going to have a baby in October. So we're so excited. Of course, that's our daughter, Hannah Joy, and her amazing and my beautiful son-in-law, Derek Johnson. And they are in full-time ministry on Maui. Oh my gosh. We've known this, that they are going to have a baby for a couple months. But of course, we waited to announce it until they did first. Amen. As hard as it was. Well, turn in your Bibles with me too. Yeah, I'm so excited about that. Turn in your Bibles with me to Judges 4. And we're going to read the word as I get myself prepared. Happy Mother's Day. Can we give it up again for all these amazing ladies, all these amazing women in the house? And you can stand to your feet after as you're clapping and telling them how amazing they are. We love you. Happy Mother's Day, Judges. I can find you. There you are. Okay. Judges 4. Starting in verse 1. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. And now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappadoth, was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali. And she said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, and with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon. And I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said to her, "If you'll go with me, then I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I will not go." And so she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." Yay. Then Deborah arose and went to Barak at Kadesh. And yes, went to Barak at Kadesh. And then in chapter 5, starting at verse 6, this is the song of Deborah. "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. Arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with the rulers of Israel, who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light upon our path. Oh God, we're sanctify your word. Oh God, the entrance of your word brings light. It brings truth. It brings revelation. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would come upon me with an unction to be able to communicate that which you've laid upon my heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, just lay hands on your heart right now. God, would you pray? We pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive that which you're saying in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. As I was praying and thinking about Mother's Day and just kind of minding my own business, I heard the Lord speak something to me three different times over the course of a day. And it was, village life ceased until Deborah arose. Village life ceased until Deborah arose. Village life ceased until I, Deborah, arose. And we're going to look at the text here. And what's taking place here is that Israel, Joshua had been leading Israel, and his time had come, and it's the closing of the door of a certain era in Israel where they were wandering in the wilderness and they're now in the promised land. Joshua passes away and they're in their inherited allotments in the land. And they're there, but in Judges 2:7, a very sobering verse says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the borders of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. When, this is the terrible, trembling verse, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them that did not know the Lord and who did not know the work which he had done for Israel. Somebody say, yikes. That's so sad. Why? Why didn't they know the works? Why didn't they know God? Because the previous generation didn't share, didn't equip them, didn't teach them. They weren't equipped to stand. They didn't know. And what had during that time, the people, they were in their allotted lands, but the people of the land had not been driven out. And because of that, God warned them before Joshua died that you are going to be in that land. Those people, you're going to end up being with them. And the picture is that they're living alongside of them. And you're going to worship their idols. You're going to marry their people. You're going to start to live the way that they live. Because they didn't drive the people out. God warned them it would happen, and it did. And they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They begin to serve Baal and Ashtoreth and all the other gods. And this leads to cycles of captivity right there in your notes. The cycle of captivity would take place when they would do evil in the sight of the Lord. God would become angry at them. He would raise up an army or a people or somebody to come and attack them and give them a whooping. And then they would become subject to them. They would live in servitude. They would be in bondage to that people group. And it was not God's blessing on their lives at that time. And then they would remember God and they would cry out and repent and turn back to God. And so God would raise up a judge who would come and deliver the people from their bondage. And you know, the judges were military. They were a military group. They didn't always love God. Some of them had some serious issues. They were not kingly people. But they, you know, there were a few judges that were really amazing. And, you know, we see that Samuel had a serious amount of issues, right? He's probably not. But nonetheless, he helped to deliver Israel in some capacity. And over in Judges 2, you can see these cycles repeat. You can go and read it. It's over and over and over throughout the entire book of Judges. There's 12 judges. And all of this is because the people didn't know God. They didn't know his word. They didn't know his word. They would sin and open a door for the enemy and go into captivity. And it's kind of alarming and fascinating to see the same thing that's taking place in our nation. That same thing is taking place in our nation today. Did you know that in 1973, before 1973, abortion was illegal in our nation? It was illegal. It was considered absolutely illegal. You're not going to do that. But what happened? In the early 60s, there was a departure from the Word of God. They didn't have Bible readings in school anymore. They didn't pray in school. They did away with that. And there was a rise in the 60s. Anybody alive during the 60s? The hippie movement, yay for that. The Jesus movement, God did a great thing. But what also happened is there was I liken it as like a great rebellion against everything that was orderly. And people turned one day. It wasn't that one day abortion was okay, and then the next day it wasn't. It's that their whole structure of America had changed. The ideology had changed because we had strayed from God's word. It's very scary. And yeah, America had changed. It was turning around into moral relativism. And here's what that means. It means the establishment of societal standards of behavior based on what the majority of people believe is right or wrong. It's what happens when people are left to their own devices without the word of God. People will fall back. People go and start doing what they think is right. But I have news for you. It doesn't matter if a group of people decide that something's right, this is contrary to God's word. It doesn't make it right. And they can vote it into law, but it doesn't make it right. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. His standard of justice, holiness, and righteousness never changes. It never changes. So it doesn't matter what wind and waves of things go through our culture, God's word will never change, and that's the standard by which we should live. Amen? Somebody say amen. Well, back here in the text in Judges 4, Ehud, it says the judge had died, and the people once again found themselves in a cycle of captivity where they were in bondage to the Canaanite king, Jabin, and his horrible, brutal general, Sisera. And we read the story of Deborah, a judge, a prophetess. In fact, she was the only woman judge out of all the 12 judges, and she stood alongside Moses and Samuel as not only a judge, but a prophet, the only woman that was in the Old Testament. And under the unction of the Holy Spirit, or of the Spirit of God, she encourages Barak to lead an entire army to fight Sisera. It seemed impossible because they had 9,000 chariots. And she told him to take 10,000 men, 900 chariots, not 9,000, and fight. How many know that's impossible if you're on foot, right? You're on foot and there's chariots. That looks totally impossible. And God, in his mercy, heard the cry of the people, and she caused them to repent and turn back to God, and God intervened and delivered Israel. And we go into chapter 5 here, which is a victory song about being an instrument that is used by God. She's praising God for being an instrument that's used by God. Village life ceased. Village life ceased until I, Deborah, arose. In the time of the judges, Israel was living, like I said, in their own allotted lands. And because of that, they were not united under one king. It was supposed to be the Lord who was supposed to be their king and their ruler, right? They weren't united under one leader. And so the surrounding peoples would come and attack. They'd take advantage of that. They'd pick on them, and they wouldn't let them grow their crops. They would attack them all over the place. They weren't united. And the situation was very dire in the time of Deborah, when God raised up Deborah. She says it in her poem there, that that's what that means, everyday life as they knew it, everyday life ceased. Village life ceased. Things were very messed up. And when you put those two words together, it said village life ceased, it's a picture that life in the open country had stopped. There was no life. And what this communicates is that there was a lack of normalcy, a lack of security in life in the open regions. And because of that, it led to a breakdown of the social and economic life and activities of the Jewish people. People were afraid to go out into the villages, into the fields. They didn't want to get attacked in their cities by gangs. Hello, New York City, other places in our nation are going through that right now. Peasant farmers couldn't raise their crops. They couldn't bring in a harvest, which of course affected their food supply. It was a crazy time, and it affected the economy. And these conditions led to civil war in the gates. Internal strife, chaos, anarchy ruled the land. And the people turned to other gods for deliverance. They had forgotten the Lord. They had forgotten the Lord, and they're looking to other gods. There, and idolatry right there in Judges 5, Deborah says. And not only that, this is what I think is the worst. They were unarmed. They were disarmed. They took away all their guns. Hello? Anybody got some guns you don't want to have taken away around here? Only like three people? Well, we probably have enough for every, anyway. But they took away all their weapons. They, you know, they didn't have guns back then. But they took away all of their weapons. It says there in verse 8 that not a weapon or a spear was found in all their troops. They had no weapons with which to fight. How many know that's going to be pretty discouraging when you're surrounded by people that are oppressing you? You have no means to fight. And it's just like the devil. Not only does he want to oppress the people and hold them down through intimidation and fear, but he disarms them. And we get disarmed by unbelief, by not having the word of God, by having doubt, by not knowing God or his word. That disarms us as God's people, just like it did them. Apathy and discouragement were pervasive, and it seemed absolutely hopeless under the brutal oppression of the Canaanites. They were leaderless. Leaders, city officials, all those that were in authority, if you could say that, were apathetic, seemingly apathetic. Nobody did anything. You don't hear anything about a people praying. You don't hear anything about people rallying and repenting and saying, oh, turning it back to God, except for Deborah. Deborah brought the people back. And when it was time for battle, and she did call, you know, there were tribes that didn't even show up. They didn't care. It's like, oh, look at all that stuff that's going on and in the lower 48. Huh. You know, are we going to respond? Are we going to do something about that? That's a good question. The sun, John Maxwell says that the sun rises and sets on leadership. Leadership can usher in a move of God's spirit or shut it down. Leadership can usher in the blessing of God and cause a people to walk in the blessing of God or not. It's terrifying. It's really something to be a leader. As I was praying about this, you know, when you read the Bible, this seems like a big duh. But sometimes we can be really separated from it when we read the stories. I was very burdened by this because if I'm sitting there looking from their perspective, these are things that are taking place in our country. This is not business as usual. Things are not normal. Things are not normal. It is not normal for a child to come home from school and want to identify as a cat. I'm sorry. It is funny, but it's also completely insane. Totally demonic. It is not normal. It is not normal to say, you know what? You feel like a little girl today? You're a girl. When you're not a girl, when you're a boy, that's not normal. That is not normal. It's not normal. Do any other nations allow complete open? I'm just wondering, with just totally open up the gates and let everybody come through? Maybe I'm wrong, but that's not normal. That's not normal. And every single day I wake up burdened. I wish that I could be carefree. I wish that I could just not think about the fact that all these things are taking place in our country, and I believe the Lord has given me a burden. I know God has given some of you a burden too. And there's moments of joy, and there's moments of course there is, because that's, we have joy in Christ. But God has raised up people. I know it's not just me that's burdened every single day about what's happening in our nation, how it's gonna affect our children, our grandchildren, our families, our community. Every single day, it's not normal. It's not business as usual. People are broken and hurting, and they're looking for answers. And we, the church, God's people, we have all the answers here. One thing that I rest in and that I'm so grateful for, and I know that I know that I know that comforts me and keeps me from shaking with fear at times. I'm just being honest, because if you read the news, they make it sound really scary. And there's a lot of weird stuff going on. I don't believe it, most of it. You know, you can't, the news is not trustworthy. But I take great, great comfort in the fact that God made us alive. He made us alive to be now, at this time in history. He made us to be alive, to fight, to stand, to be a people of victory, to have a victorious church that's going to usher in his second coming. He made each and every one of you, all of you, to be alive now, at this time. Anybody else think about that? Whenever you get discouraged and fearful, just know that God knew that you could take it, because here you are. He made you to be alive right now. And then God brings a game changer into the situation in Israel. He raises up Deborah. He raises up a woman. He raises up a mother in Israel. He raises up a woman who is given that title because of honor and reverence and respect for what she did. She stood and she encouraged people. You know, we have some amazing mothers in Israel in this place. And do we have any classics? Can I see, raise your hand if you're a classic, if you're a senior, if you're even a part of the Praying Grandmothers group. We have so many amazing women in this place who stand. They're not going to look like the most likely. They're not going to go out, maybe they will, but with a weapon. They're not going to go run across a battlefield. They might be a little slower in some areas. You know, open doors for them. Bless them. Help them get in their cars. You know, that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, do it. Honor them. But they fight battles in the spirit. They pray. They pray and shake heaven on your behalf. Amen. And so we honor them today. But Deborah's wise counsel, her faith in God, caused the people to repent. They repented. They turned back to God. This says that people would come and flock to her as she sat under that tree and gave wise counsel. They cried out to God, and Deborah encourages Barak. She says, has not the Lord commanded you? Get out there. Take your place in the army of God. Get out there and fight. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Obey God and get out there and fight. She spurred him on and gave him hope and courage. She went out with him. And in her song in verses 1 to 2 and verse 9, she praises all the leaders and all the tribes and all the people who came willingly, who sacrificed and stood in the gap and were willing to fight. It's a sacrifice to take time to pray. It's a sacrifice to try to live right. It's a sacrifice to die to yourself and always obey. Because sometimes it's a sacrifice. It's a blessing, but there's also sacrifice involved. And she praised them because they did that. And because they did what they could do. They showed up for the battle. They showed up for the fight. They obeyed God. They did their part. And because of that, God did what only God can do. He showed up and the battle was broken out. He broke out. God breaks out and wins the victory. And the victory is won for the people of Israel. It says that that there was like a deluge that took place, and there was a massive flash flood, and the chariots got stuck in the mud, and that caused Sisera to have to get out and run away on foot. If you look how far that guy ran, I was looking at a map, he ran pretty far. That's why he was exhausted, as you read there in Judges 4, that when he finally got to the tent of a certain woman named Jael, he was tired, and he hid in there thinking he was safe, but she took a tent peg and drove his skull into the ground, and the victory was won. Praise the Lord. And this victory was so monumental for the people of Israel, because it broke the back of the Canaanite oppression after that. It says that the Israel grew stronger and stronger and drove all the Canaanites out over the course of time. They grew stronger and stronger. The only problem is they still had issues with all the idolatry and the worship of Baal and Asherah, and they needed the word of God. Amen. Amen and amen. It continued to ensnare the people. Deborah rallied the people, and her encouragement and her speaking the word of the Lord caused them to get up and fight. And it restored village life. God's speaking to us today, and he's calling us to action. Every single one of us, he's calling to action today. His intention for every one of his people is to walk in blessing. And there is a prescribed way to walk in blessing. Alaska's communities, our nation's communities, our cities, families are being oppressed by the enemy. What are we going to do about it? You might feel like some of those people in Israel during that time. Maybe you're dealing with your own personal battles and struggles. Maybe you just are like, that's not going to ever come up here. Maybe it just seems so overwhelming that the tide of evil is so overwhelming what's taking place. It's so nasty and bad and intimidating that you just think, what am I supposed to do? That's a great question. There are some things that we can do. What does this have to do with Mother's Day, you're asking? What is all this stuff? It doesn't sound like a very happy, joyous Mother's Day message, does it? But God, it is a Mother's Day message because God uses women, men, boys, girls, people of all kinds of, every person to influence other people. And our actions, our behaviors, the things that we do can change the course of our own personal lives, our families, our communities, our state, the nation, even the nations of the earth. From Alaska. Did you know that we have a word that we've been standing on for a long time, that God is going to raise up this church and others through 24 hours, 7 day a week prayer to be used as a strategic defense for the nation. That's a word that we've gotten, that we're supposed to take part in that. It's gonna take the entire body of Christ to do something intense like that, but we have a prayer room for that purpose so that we can do something, so we can stand. And that's one action that we've taken. But what do you do? What do we do about this? Well, the first thing that we do is to take personal responsibility. We have to do our part. Don't just sit and watch somebody else do it and hope that nothing happens. We have to. This is like a revolutionary war. You know, one time I was talking to the Lord after watching some Revolutionary War movie, and I was like, man, I would really wish I would have been alive at that time. And he goes, you are. He said those words, you are alive at that time. It's a revolution. You have to have a revolution. We have to live holy. We have to fight and stand against sin in our own lives. First and foremost, he's given us everything that we need. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us everything we need. We have all of it right here. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we have what we need to live a holy life. In our family, we have to stand against sin. And you know, sin's a wrong attempt by man to get a real need met. Jesus meets every single human need. Pastor Alcantara said that all the time right before praying. He meets every single human need. Sin is just a wrong attempt to get that need met. If you in your fight against sin, you probably need some healing. Get healed. Do everything that you can so that you can live rightly before God. We're all in a process of being made more and more and being spiritually transformed on the inside by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're all in a process. Well, keep on going. Keep going through it. Get healed. Secondly, you need to commit to knowing God's word. We need to be a true disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to learn how to study the Bible. We need to get to know him. You know, and one of the ways we get to know him and be a disciple is go to church. Hey, you're all here today. Good job. If you're just visiting and you don't have a home church, I invite you to be a part of this one. There's a lot of great ones in the valley and around here. So for a little extra, there's some other great ones out there. Read the Bible every day. If you don't take time to do this, like with this, put it on your app and listen to it on your way to work. Get on one of the Bible reading plans that we're all in the middle of. Learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. You know, you cannot give what you don't have. So you, if you want to be an influence, you have to be able to influence people rightly with the word, right? There's resources to be able to teach you how to read the word, and if you need help with that, we can help. Amen. Number two, you have to teach and disciple the next generation. So grievous. The next generation did not know God or his mighty works. That's terrifying. We have to help that next generation know God on a daily basis. We have to teach them the fear of the Lord. We have to teach them that God is great and he's merciful, but there's also a hell. And there's consequences to sin. We have to teach them to give. We have to teach them. We have to teach them how to walk with God and how to love him and what that looks like, the life of a believer, what it should look like. And like I said, we're all in process. Don't stop trying. Don't stop trying. And for goodness sakes, include them in the prayers that you pray so that when God breaks in and does a miracle, you can rejoice and they can see the mighty hand of God breaking out in your life. Get on fire yourself so that you can teach the next generation. You know, you can help. There's a lot of kids. You might have kids that are grown up, or you might be like, oh my gosh, I failed, or I don't have kids, or whatever. Look around. There's so many young people in this place that need a mama, that need a dad, that need an uncle, that need somebody to teach them the word and encourage them. I'm so thankful for all the people that speak into my life and tell me, you know what, you're doing a good job. You can do it. When I felt weak so many times, telling me you can do it and teaching me and speaking into my life. So grateful for them. You don't get those all the time if you're not in church and included in the body of Christ somehow. You got to do it. And that's what I love about Deborah, but I'm getting ahead of myself. You have to not only be a disciple yourself, disciple other people. Oh, just kidding. The next generation. But you have to disciple other people. We have a phrase at King's that's be a disciple. It's an older phrase that we used to say all the time. Be a disciple and make a disciple. Pour into somebody else. You know, God can raise you up. I never thought I would ever be somebody who led anything. I was so messed up and broken and insecure, and I could never even hold a mic without shaking. That's the truth. But God in his mercy can raise up anybody if you just say yes. He can work with you and he can mold you. And if you have a willing heart and a willing spirit, then God can raise you up to influence so many people. But it doesn't have to just be the life group leader. It doesn't have to be a team leader. In your business, in the military, amen. In whatever place and capacity that you are, you're always influencing somebody. Disciple them, share the word, witness, tell about your faith, share about Jesus and all that he has done. And that's, like I said, what I love about Deborah is that she encouraged Barak. She spoke into his life. She kind of gave him a little rebuke. Hey, hasn't the Lord not commanded you? It makes me wonder, had the Lord spoken to him and he was just kind of chickening out? Maybe. She spoke into his life. You know, I'm so thankful for those people who hold my shut up card, like my husband. Mama's had to give me some correction before too, and I'm so thankful for that because it helped me, you know, in the early years, because it's helped me to get my act together. You know, thankful for the people that speak into my life and correct me when I need it. And you don't have that either if you're not in covenant relationships. Deborah rebuked those that didn't get involved. She rebuked all those kings or all those leaders. And even it says, Meroz, where were you? You're cursed because you didn't show up on the day of battle. Where were you? They were cursed. She encouraged people in their faith, rebuked them, and blessed the ones who came and served willingly in sacrifice. So thirdly, not only do we take personal responsibility, commit to know and teach God's word through discipleship, but we have to be a people of prayer. We must give ourselves to prayer. If you could peel back the veneer, the veil of the spirit, this is what Dr. Morocco says, and you could see the epic battle that's taking place for men's souls, for your soul, for your children, for all the people that you love, oh, you would run to prayer. There's a raging battle that's taking place in the spirit. It would drive us to our knees, and he wants us to pray. He wants things to change. He wants us to partner with him so that he'll move on the earth. 2 Chronicles, you know that one, famous 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, the church, will humble themselves, they'll repent, they'll turn from their wicked ways and pray, I'm going to hear and I'm going to break in and I'm going to come and heal their land. I'll forgive their sin. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we might find mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And James 5 talks about how the fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Jesus paid the price so that we could come boldly before him in prayer. And prayer causes God to act and do the impossible. All of us have a calling and a purpose from God. Every single one of us. There's no accidents in this place. He made each and every one of us to influence the people that are around us. 2 Timothy 1:9. God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Jesus gave us the great commission to go and make disciples, preach the gospel, and make disciples of all the nations. We're God's workmanship, and he created us in Christ to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. Not only that, but we have to understand the time and the hour that we live in. It's not business as usual. It's so easy here in Alaska to get wrapped up in our own little heaven. It's heaven to me here. I love it here. And not pay attention to all the crud that's going on down below. It's so easy. But I want to encourage you today. Our son, Daniel, Minister Daniel, has a tremendous gift. He loved to play basketball in high school, and he still loves it. But he has a tremendous gift at being able to see the whole game. He could see all the different things. He knew what had to take place. He had a tremendous gift. See the whole game. Don't just see what you're doing on the court. Get your eyes on the big picture. Even if you're going through your own personal hell, God can bring you through and you can still be used by God. Just keep going. People are looking for answers, like I said earlier. They're broken. They're hurting. And we can make a change. The enemy's come in. He's oppressed and holding people in bondage, in captivity. Our nation and the nations of the earth are raging. Jesus is coming back. And you play a vital role as moms, dads, aunties, cousins, men, women, and children. Every single person has a vital role to play. As the church, we have a vital role to play. We're all going to stand before God and give an account. Are we going to allow apathy, offense, discouragement? Are we going to allow, I don't know, what is it? Are you going to allow anything to keep you from praying, to keep you from reaching out to people? Are you going to allow these things to keep you from preaching the truth and sharing and encouraging people, from growing? Are you going to allow these things, apathy, a lack of faith, hurt, being hurt by something? Are we going to allow that to keep us from doing what God has put us on the earth to do? We cannot. The future generations depend. God, we do not want to be a people. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be somebody whose kids, and I'm so thankful my kids love God, but there's so many other kids that don't know God. Did you know you can go to church your whole life and not know the word? You can hear it in church, but you don't study, you don't grow, you don't go to Bible studies. There's a bunch of people that call themselves Christians, and they are. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've confessed with their mouths, but they're not living rightly before God, and that because they don't know God, they don't have a fear of God, they don't know his mighty deeds. God, help us. Help us to be those who teach people. And so I'm going to close with this. I have a poem for you. Pastor Daniel, can you come up? Because he's going to help me. This is written by William Ross Wallace in 1865. I don't know if he's one of ours. Mom, by the way, I don't know if my mom is online or not, but I love you, Mom. Thank you for being the best mom ever. And thank you, Mama, for everything. I love you so much. Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place, would that storms never assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy is the tender fountain, power may with beauty flow. Mothers first to guide the streamlets, from them souls unresting grow on for the good or for the evil, sunshine streamed or evil hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission, here upon natal sod. Keep the young heart open always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. You know, God created each and every one of us for a purpose, for himself. And I'm just asking you today, will you be one that rocks the cradle? I'm not just talking about women. Will you be one that rocks the cradle? Will you be one that influences and encourages and teaches and leads people in the things of God and teaches the word of God and disciples them and prays for them and stands against sin and the wickedness of the world? You might feel like you messed up, like I said earlier, that it's too late, but you can start now. There's a whole generation of young people my age, I still need encouragement. God wants to use you, and it doesn't matter what's happened. You can start all over and brand new right now. Will you be the one? Will you be one? Will there be a yes in your spirit to say, I want to help, I will be one that helps change the course of my family. I will be one that helps change the course of my community, the school.
Come on.
Our city, our nation, the nations of the earth. Will you be one by living rightly before God, by living holy, by loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, crying out to him in prayer, being a real disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you be one? Is there a yes in your spirit? If that's you today, I want you to stand up. If you just say, you know what? I'm going to live with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I'm going to be one that influences people for good.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to teach and inspire and influence, and I'm going to pray for the course of our nation. I'm going to pray for our family. Pastor Daniel.
Father, with all these that are standing now, we ask and pray that your power would come upon us. You see our yes in our hearts. You see, God, and have even placed us here at this time in history, which the prophet saw afar off, and we live in it, a time of fullness. We believe the fullness of the Gentiles is yet ahead. There's so much, God, that's happening. And yet you've placed us like Deborah, like Barak. You've placed us in this time in history. Oh, God, help us to be aware, to be quickened, to be awakened, to say yes in our actions and our deeds, through our prayers, through our life, God, our time, our talent, our treasure. Raise up an army of people who will stand in the gap, who will vote rightly, who will live rightly, who will declare the word of the Lord to a generation that's hurting and broken, identifying with animals, confused in their gender. There's so much defilement. Lord, today in the name of Jesus on this Mother's Day, we say no. We say that there is a standard that's being raised as the enemies come in. You, God, like a flood, will raise up a standard of righteousness against him. We say no to ungodly legislation. We say no to the things of the enemy, of wickedness and defilement and moral relativism. We say yes to your word. We say yes to your way. We say yes to your kingdom. And God, I pray that you, even today, would put your finger on things inside of us where we might be hurt or apathetic or offended, where we might need healing so we could get in the battle and do our part so that you would do yours. Bring healing now. Quicken and awaken your people now. Heal them now. In the name of Jesus.
Years ago, I went through the death of a child, which really rocked my faith. It was so painful, to say the least. And at that time, I literally, it was like I laid down my will to fight and my sword. And there's people in this place that have been gone through tremendous difficulty. You've had wounded faith, you've been offended and your church hurt, or whatever the situation in your life. Later on, I went through a healing process and I had this vision of myself going back into that little room, wherever it was in my mind, and I picked up my sword. And God is doing that for you today. You have gone through things where you have not prayed, or you're going things through now. And God is coming right now. If that's you, just lift your hands all over this place. God is coming to heal you. You've been wounded. You have wounded faith. You've not been in the battle because of hurt and trauma and
despair. Receive strength.
God is coming upon you right now.
Receive courage.
In the name of Jesus.
Receive strength. I break off the power of discouragement, depression and fear, hopelessness and despair, wounded faith.
Yeah.
Be healed. Heal these, God, online, those here.
God, you are good.
And thank you that you're raising up this company.
In the name of
Jesus. To turn the tide, not only for this generation, for the future ones, with our hands to the cradle. We give you praise. Put your best hand clap together for God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.